Good morning. Hey, it's good to see everybody here this morning. In spite of the rain, or maybe because of it, you had no place else to go, so you came to church, right? Oh, I'd like to, like to welcome our visitors this morning, both here in the building and out on in Facebook country. Glad to have you all with us, no matter how. Is there anybody who has a birthday this week, or this coming week, or whenever you're celebrating it? Did I say? Wilma does, that's right. She reminds me of that two or three times a day. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. No anniversaries. Okay. Then let's turn to number 59. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand and worship the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, their angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, Thou hast devised salvation's plan, for Thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms Conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And number 166, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
My soul has often found
by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. And take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Brother Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be a part of your kingdom, to be a part of your family. It is such a blessing, not just to know you, but to also be known by you. To commune with you during our sweet hour of prayer. Every moment of every day, we are in communion with you. Our every thought, you know, even before we know it. And when we allow you, you guide not only our thoughts, but our actions, so that we can live in a way that is consistent with your will. And help us to overcome the temptations to sin. And even when we fall, you reach down your hand and say, come here, my child. Let me help you back up. Yes. Call out to me. Ask forgiveness. And I will lift you back up. Oh, Lord, we are so blessed. We are here to worship such a mighty God. Such an awesome God. So let us truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Have your way and your will in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. And as we prepare for our communion service this morning, have a little confession to make. I can't imagine there being one, but there is an error in the bulletin this morning.
Happened all by itself.
All by itself, it did. It's a long story, and one of these days when we have about 3 days to talk about it, we'll go into it. But for now, Mike Higgins will be bringing our meditation this morning as soon as we sing our communion hymn, number 262. Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My precious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love you in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Brother Mike.
The title of reading this morning is Drinking from the Right Well. I love the story of Jesus and Samaritan woman in John 4 because it teaches me a very simple truth that I can understand. Jesus met her, and I'll call her Sam, at a very famous well, Jacob's well. The water of this well was not a stagnant pond, but rather a flowing river of fresh water. After Jesus and Sam talked a bit about the well water, he told her that if she continued to rely on the physical well water, she would always be thirsty. But Jesus told her if she would drink water, living water that he had to offer, she would never thirst again. Amen. Jesus was teaching Sam that if she depended on created physical things to bring her joy, she have none. Jacob's well was a man-made thing. A matter of fact, the second of the Ten Commandments teaches we are not to make an idol of any created things in heaven, or on earth or under the waters. When we try to find meanings in life from job status, salaries, or real estate, we may be happy for a time, but it will pass. Even relationships can ultimately leave us empty. Sam had been married 5 times and was living with a sixth man, but she was not happy. It was not until she met Jesus, a perfect man, that Sam found joy. In John, the 7th chapter, verses 37 through 39, tells us of the living water Jesus spoke of was of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted Sam to depend upon the Spirit for emotional and spiritual thirst quenching. when we come to worship, focus on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what he might teach us. We worship and are satisfied. If we come to worship, focus on man-made created things like clothes, styles of music, decorations in the sanctuary, or length of sermons, will always be thirsty. As we come to communion, we focus on the uncreated, the body and the blood of Jesus. John tells us Jesus was in the beginning with God and that he is God. We worship Jesus and are satisfied. Let's eat and drink from the living water today and find enduring joy. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful Lord's Day where we can assemble in your house. The dear Father, that we can learn about the living water that satisfies our thirst. And dear Lord, as we come around the table this morning, or as we take of these emblems, this loaf represents our Lord and Savior's broken body, and the cup represents his blood that he spilled there upon Calvary's cross for each and every one of us. The dear Father will remember this with all our hearts this day as we take of these emblems in remembrance of him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it, blessed it, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, giving thanks, passed it among them, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Our God reigns. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Let's turn to number 290 and sing.
Mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns. Our God reigns.
reigns. Out from the tomb he came with grace and majesty. He is alive. He is alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know he is alive. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Amen. You may be seated. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's turn to number 492. And get to where we need to be at all times, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path goes from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting. Secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Brother Mike, I believe you have the scripture this morning.
We'll be reading from Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 13. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, and his face was shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Jesus then appeared before them, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love, with, and I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man had been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first?" Jesus said, "Be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I will tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Now, if you haven't looked at your thing in the bulletin this morning, that Bob puts a funny in there sometimes, but today he got the armor of God. That's a really good thing. You ought to all study that. And the scriptures that go with it. Oh, been an interesting week, hasn't it? I don't know about everybody, but I know Jim and Mary's been really busy because they've been here every day. And, yeah. I hate to say this, but to all my deacons, he's making you look bad.
I'm excited. I don't have to go to a job all week.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's hard to believe, but this is my job. I do covet your prayers. My knee has given me fits. They say I need a replacement, but they don't want to do it right now because of all the stuff that's going on. So I don't know if I have the patience to wait. Oh. Well, as we continue here in our study, if you remember last week, there was this talk about some who will still be alive and see the glory of God. And today we see who that was in this transfiguration. It was Peter, James, and John. They were there. It says 6 days later, after 6 days, that was 6 days after this conversation where the great confession was made by Peter one moment, and then the very next moment, he's being chastised. "Get thee behind me, Satan." So he wasn't calling, if you remember, he wasn't calling Peter Satan himself. He was just saying that you're listening to Satan, you're speaking on his behalf, because you're thinking from a purely human perspective instead of a spiritual perspective. And that's when he told them, "Some of you will see this." And so here, this happens where they go up on a high mountain with Jesus, and it says, there he was transfigured. Now, you think about that. What is transfigured? Trans means beyond. And he was figured as a man. So he became more than a man. They saw him in his glory. They saw him as the Son of God, glowing and shining with all of his glory. They saw this glory there. No wonder they were dumbfounded. No wonder they had no clue how to respond. Even Peter, the one who speaks up the most. I mean, he was just, he felt like, "I got to do something. Let's do something." And so he offered to build tabernacles for all three. Of course, that would have been a sin to do that. But he wasn't thinking that way. He was thinking about how awesome this vision was that he had just saw. And we have to do something to commemorate this. I mean, you think about all the statues that we have around even our nation that commemorate some action that somebody took. And these were merely human beings. And yet we have statues to commemorate the things that they have done, to help us remember, to help us in our history. I mean, you go right then over to the courthouse, and there's a statue out front of this courthouse, right? And there's also a memorial there, right, for all of our vets that died. These are memories for us to hold on to. It's a way of honoring those people for their showing their bravery, for taking some act that other people, for whatever reason, either didn't think of or didn't have the nerve to do. And these people stood out and they did it. And as a result, some good came. And so we want to remember that. Here, Peter is saying, let's do that. Only all he could think of was, let's build three tabernacles. I'll put up three tabernacles, one for each of you. But then the thing is that wasn't Jesus that spoke to him, but God himself spoke from heaven in response to this. Now, in every place else in the Bible where we hear of God talking, it sounds like many waters. It sounds like thunder. It sounds like a very loud trumpet blast. God's voice can be heard, okay? When God speaks, people listen. You know, they used to say that about that guy on TV, Merrill Lynch, wasn't it? Who? E.F. Hutton, yeah. Yeah, E.F. Hutton, he may have been respected, and some people may have heard him, but not all did. When God speaks, everybody hears, whether they want to or not. I can remember a few times when I did not want to hear him, but I did. I can remember one time in particular, which this is not a good thing for me to say, but nonetheless, it's true. I was standing with a joint in my hand, and I heard God. It's like, so you're saying I shouldn't be doing this, right? So, yeah. God speaks, and we hear him. Now, we also know that there are times when God comes as a still, small voice. And I think the difference is there are times when God wants, demands to be heard. And there are times when God wants us to seek him so that we can hear him. And I'll tell you another thing. Have you ever heard the expression, if you want someone's attention, whisper. Whisper. You get their attention when you whisper. I can remember, yeah. I can remember we had a teacher that used to use that. I forget, sixth grade maybe. Everybody would be getting loud, and all of a sudden she'd start whispering, and everybody's like, what's she saying? What's she saying? So you get quiet so you could hear what she's saying. And then somebody would say, what'd you say? She said, I said shut up and sit down. But it worked. But God has shown the glory of his son, of himself, here on this mountain. And the two figures that showed up with him, this is also very significant. It was Moses and Elijah. Moses was the one who was the predecessor, in many ways, to Jesus. He received the law and gave the law to the children of Israel. He gave the law to all of us. The law is our schoolmaster to show us our sinfulness and just how sinful sin really is, so that we recognize that we have a need of a Savior that was coming. Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets in the Bible. You read about and think about all of the prophets, and everybody knows the stories of Elijah. First was he commanded the rain not to come until I say so. Now, he was commissioned by God to do that. But nonetheless, he had the boldness to stand up. And then when he came back for it to come about time for it to rain, then he challenged those 450 prophets of Baal on the mountaintop. And that's when he mocked them, and then the fire came down from God and consumed not only the offering, but all of the water he had poured on it, all of the stones even, were consumed by this fire from God. The most powerful demonstration of any time that I'm aware of God's power other than creation. And here Elijah was here with Jesus now. What can you imagine? This is such an honor to be a part of this transfiguration moment. These two characters, because of their faith, because of their stand on God's word, they were chosen to come and to meet with Jesus. And there was, I'm sure, an element of encouragement for Jesus here. But it also, the primary purpose seems to be to display the glory of God in Jesus Christ. They saw him change. They saw this transfiguration and they held on to that. And then they heard the voice of God. They said, "This is my son, my beloved son. Listen to him." Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can remember when I was in the Navy, when the, especially when I was in boot camp, when your company commander spoke and told you something, you listened. Because if you didn't, you paid for it dearly. Sometimes the rest of the guys in your group paid for it too. And they remembered that. They didn't like it much. I can remember cleaning shower stalls with my toothbrush and Zest soap. Had to be Zest. Couldn't be anything else. All because I didn't hear something he said. And maybe that was because I was busy talking at the time. I don't know. But imagine if we miss something that God says because we're busy with something else. And yet here he says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And we have his words recorded in our Bible for the very reason that we can hear him, that we can listen to him and have the opportunity to obey what he says. We see that his glory shone so much so that these three men who had been in the presence of Jesus for almost 3.5 years at this point were so caught off guard. This was something that was so beyond their imagination, something that was so beyond anything that they could ever think or imagine, that it just caused them to just stumble and stutter and be in a state of shock. They're like, "Oh, wow, look at that." I mean, have you ever seen somebody that thought they saw a UFO? Ever talk to anybody that said they saw a UFO? Well, they have kind of the same expression on their face. And You know, because it's something that's so beyond what we can imagine, what our minds can fathom. And that's what they were witnessing, was something that was just so unhuman-like. And it let them know for sure that, yeah, what Peter said is right. This is the Son of the living God. This is the Messiah. And there was no question. They fell down, face down to the ground. But Jesus came and touched them and said, get up. Don't be afraid. You know, that's one of the things that angels say the most in the Bible. Don't be afraid. It's all right. And the other thing they say is, no, no, get up. Get up. I'm a fellow servant just like you. Get up. Don't worship me. Lord, I didn't accept it. I didn't accept it. So here, though, Jesus steps in this moment in his glory. Now, folks, this is how we will see him on the day of judgment. In his glory. We will be looking through the same lens that Peter, James, and John are looking through now. On that day when, first of all, can you imagine when we're all caught up together in the glory of God in the sky? We say, whoosh! We go up there. And then you see this bright glowing light and you're getting closer and closer to it until you see, wow, it's Jesus. Whoosh! Lord, help me! Lord, forgive me! And yet, we're supposed to live in such a way that we understand his glory already. That we are already in a state of worshiping him because he is the Son of God. Because he is omnipotent. Omniscient and omnipresent. He is God in the flesh who came to rescue us. Amen. It says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And this is where the voice of God said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This cloud. You remember the children of Israel? When they were going by day, it was a cloud. By night, it was a pillar of fire. The same cloud. The same cloud comes back. And this is when they fell down and Jesus came and said, get up, don't be afraid. And then Jesus says this in verse 9. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Wow. So their minds are just being blown again and again and again because they're thinking, what do you mean raised from the dead? They still haven't got the concept of, you know, a man dying and being raised from the dead. Even though they know now that he is the Messiah, that even makes it more complex and more misunderstood for them because they're thinking that when the Messiah comes, he's going to literally kick butt and take names. You know, he's coming, he's going to rescue them from the hands of their enemies. He's going to rebuild the kingdom of David on earth. Well, that's going to happen, but not yet. And not the way that they think. They're expecting this physical act because, folks, that's all we can manage most of the time is to think from our own experiences for what man can do. We have such a difficult time trying to put into perspective spiritual things because they're supernatural. But you know, for Christians, the supernatural should become what is natural in our lives. We have to learn that, You know, the very fact that God is a supernatural being whom we believe in, and many do not, Jesus, whom we believe is also God in the flesh and the Son of God, the Father, is supernatural. And the Holy Spirit who lives in us is also God, supernatural. All of this supernatural stuff going on in our life every moment of every day, and we rarely stop to think about it. That's a trick of the devil, to keep us so busy that we don't have time to really think about all the supernatural that's in us and around us at all times. So we have to learn to think differently. We have to learn to stop and take time. As we say, smell the roses. We need to take time to pay attention to what's going on, what God is whispering to us, and what he is yelling at us. All these natural disasters that's going on right now, I think that's God yelling, hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. Amen. And then another happens. Can you hear me now? But after Jesus told them not to tell anybody, the disciples ask him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must first come? Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. He has not done it yet, folks. He's saying that's not happened yet. It will happen. It has not happened yet. I missed that for years, folks. I missed that for years. But it's very clear just in the tense that is used in the original language and in the English language. To be sure, Elijah will come. He comes. He will come. And he will restore all things. All things have not been restored yet. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him. So here we see this is another one of those instances in the scripture where a prophecy can be fulfilled in a near instant and in a far instant. The near instance has already happened. Elijah came, the spirit of Elijah came and was upon John the Baptist. But Elijah himself has not yet returned. If you remember, there was a time when John the Baptist was being questioned and they said, who are you? And they even asked him, are you Elijah who was to come? He said, no, I'm not. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was the forerunner, the precursor to the coming Christ to make the way smooth for Jesus. They understood finally that he was talking of John the Baptist. But Jesus also said this, in the same way the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. John was put in prison and then beheaded. And he is now saying, likewise, I'm going to die at their hands. The same people, the Romans, soldiers, the Romans, the leaders of the day, the spiritual leaders of the day, all are going to do this to me as they did to him. They're going to have their way with me the way they had their way. And you know, this had to be mind-boggling to them because, again, they expected the Messiah was going to take over everything and be the ruler of the world. And you know, I've talked to non-Christians before who ask questions about that. Well, if he was truly God in the flesh, why did he allow himself to be killed by man? Well, it's a simple concept when you're a believer. But when you're not, it's hard to wrap your mind around. He did it for you. What do you mean he did it for me? Well, because of his death and his blood being shed as the Lamb of God, then you can be cleansed of your sins by putting your faith in him and what he did on the cross. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to give up your life to live the life he has for you? And for those of us who have, are we doing it? If you have a need, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 377. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's stand and sing.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, now I'm coming home. I've tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, nevermore to Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming. Coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. You may be seated. We don't have any announcements as such, except for one good word. Jared Miller was baptized last Sunday morning. And if we haven't done it before, we want to welcome you to the family now, Jared. So did you give him his paperwork and stuff last week that he needed? Okay, good. All right then, let's take a look at the prayer list. Is there anyone? I had something here. We have, yes.
I'm going to pass out papers today. I'm not telling anybody how to vote, but this gives the information on what the Democrats stand for and what the Republicans stand for. So.
Now's a good time to do it. Or would you rather have people just pick them up as they go out?
I'll cast them out. Some of them
I'm already cast out. Okay. The two additions I have to the prayer list, one is Victoria Lott, who is already on there. And we also have Vicki Harold, who is in need of a prayer. Somebody else too that we need to keep special prayers for. That's Matt Craig, preacher at First Christian in Scottsburg. His mother was killed in a car wreck yesterday.
Thursday.
Okay. And so we want to keep Matt and his family in our prayers.
We also need to put Kinsley, if she's not already on there.
Huh?
Kinsley has upper respiratory infection.
Okay, yeah, she is on there with her dad there at the number three on the upper left. Renee?
I have my cousin Carrie Gibson. They found lymphoma. She has a cancer that was all inside her chest walls, and they went and got it all out and it said, but she's got another step of chemotherapy and things, so we can do her prayer.
Okay, and that was Carrie Gibson.
Gibson, yeah.
Okay.
I-E?
C-A-R-R-I-E. Okay. Not often you find the old-fashioned spelling like that. Mitch?
I think we already have Ann Chambers on there. But,
yes.
She contacted me, and she's having problems with her eye, the surgery she had. She may have to go back and have another surgery.
Oh, boy.
So... she asked for us to continue to pray for her.
Right. Okay, that's Ann Chambers. Anybody else? Penny?
Pete LeMaster's not doing good. You put him on there last week, but that's Marvin's nephew.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was he had a tumor on his, a tumor on his stomach. They think it died and fell onto his spleen. And so he had to have gallbladder surgery first. Well, then he just got worse, so they removed his spleen. And so he goes to the doctor next week to see if he needs chemo.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already told him he won't go back to work until next year. And he's only in his 50s.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a go-getter, and he sounded awful on the phone. He said the worst part about being in the hospital was being alone.
Yeah. No. Phil?
I got another one too. Doug Yoakum.
Who?
Doug Yoakum.
Yoakum?
He's one of the ones that's got cancer.
Is that Yoakum with a J or a Y?
Y.
Like a little Abner. Anyone else? Washington County Schools.
And Lynn said that Gail's got
shingles. Shingles. That's no fun.
Ow.
Been there.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Gail Hardy. It is. It's pretty good size right now.
Yeah. They have four more cases that's in Madison and they're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty bad. So,
okay.
My old hospital was on the national news, the Check Yourself in Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, doctor, I used to work for an infection control.
Well, she have some from New York. Where was this?
Those are new cases.
Oh.
Cases yesterday.
I thought she said riot.
Yes, I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
In the state of confusion.
Yeah. We're up to 13 deaths here in Scott County. And that's just the ones that they're reporting. All we can do is keep praying, people. Stay away from each other.
Well, Mary Chris has put a cross on each door of her house, and I think maybe we all should do that. Blood of Jesus.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah. Maybe even anoint them.
Hmm. I saw it.
And it is, you can't get that now. I tried to share it, and it's unavailable.
Of course it is.
So,
take it off, probably.
Yes. So, you know, I know that I've got family, so-called Christian family in other states and stuff, that they say, oh, you're going to take everything else into consideration? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Maybe we better save this for outside the sanctuary. Rusty? I think we're all about in one mind this morning, are we not?
I think so.
So why don't you dismiss us on that note? Yep, Jim.
It certainly
is. Oh, absolutely. We need a praise. Amen.
Because there's nothing but a bunch of heroes there. They don't get tested for COVID. And they got put up this stuff and all these patients every day. And the good Lord took care of her.
Amen.
I hope they take care of everybody down there.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, a lot better than the parking lot. Yeah, but yeah, that's not a bad idea to take banners and wave them at the windows where they are. No, you're not forgotten. Might remember that for the people in the nursing homes and those facilities too. All right, yeah, well, we will have Bible study tonight, 5 o'clock. Not 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Yeah, we're watching a series from Dr. Chuck Missler, who has gone to be with the Lord since, but it's a video that was put together in 2012. It's called Weathering the Coming Storm, and it's very appropriate for still today because we're still going through that storm to some degree. And a lot of really good information. Chuck Missler and what's the other guy's name? Ron Mattson. Yeah, Ron Mattson. So if you can, come tonight, and I'm sure you'll be blessed by it. So let's stand together and pray and be dismissed, and then we can all go eat. I have chili. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given. Thank you for the privilege we've had to be here together this morning as your family. And thank you above all for you being here this yes. morning and speaking to our hearts and touching us and moving us in the direction that you want us to go. We're moving towards revival. Lord, revival begins in the house of God first, and it begins right here with me first. So Lord, help us each to learn to live in a state of revival, that a revival can break out in our nation and the church can become a vibrant part of everyone's life again. Lord, bless us as we leave. We know we never leave you and you never leave us. So help us, Lord, to honor you with everything we say and everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Have a blessed day.